1 Samuel chapter number 17. Man, when I'm still young, but used to be when I hear that song, like, die on the battlefield, I don't want to die at all. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, if you're a little kid in church, like, why don't you want to sing a song? I want to die on a battlefield. Longer I live, though, what a place to go. What a place to go. And I preached at a church one time when I was about 12. And they had a little memorial plaques in the front of the building. It's in North Georgia, never forget it. And it said, this is in memory of our pastor who died on such and such a date while preaching in the pulpit, went to heaven. I said, boy, that's amazing. Looked at the next plaque. Said, this is in memory of our pastor, different man, 20 years to the day, died in the pulpit. My dad told that guy that was there, he'd been there about 19 years. They said, I think I'll take a year of sabbatical if I was you. But what a way to go, amen. I want to die on the battlefield. 1 Samuel 17, I have struggled all day about what to preach tonight. And I've really prayed, and I come that close to calling him to preach tonight because it was getting, woo, like, hey, we getting time, Lord. You know, me and you going to look mighty funny if we don't have something. And but the Lord brought these verses to my mind. I'll be honest with you, He brought that song to my heart and brought these verses to my mind and just kind of tied some of this together. And so 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you're willing and able, let's stand together. We'll begin reading in verse 41. I will not preach anything you've never heard tonight, but I'm going to preach what God put on my heart. Amen. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 41. The Bible said, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Yeah, boy, he's a dog all right. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Notice that's a little g god. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. You may be seated. 1 Samuel 17, it's no stranger. We all know about this chapter. We had two separate messages, two separate nights, and neither preacher knowing about it out of 1 Samuel 17. And that's just the way the Lord works. And I thank God for that. And I've preached from this text multiple times. In fact, I've marked up this Bible, and it's a new Bible already here in 1 Samuel 17. But it seems like every time I read it, something else jumps out at me. And that's just the power and the truth of God's Word. And as I'm reading this in our text, Goliath curses David by his gods, his little g gods. And he was trying to scare David off. You see, all these tactics that Goliath had used before, it had worked on Goliath's brothers. It had worked on King Saul, who stood head and shoulders above every man in Israel. And Goliath said, here comes this little boy, around 17, 18 years old possibly. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll say the same thing to him that I said to his brothers and I said to his king. But he found something was different about this old boy David. He found that even though that he may have been smaller than everybody else and he may not have been as trained as everybody else, Goliath found out there was something different about this boy David. Now, I got two titles tonight just because I'm brilliant like that. And they're both songs, and I couldn't choose which one I liked the most, and so I picked both of them, and you pick the one you like, and that's what it'll be, amen? I'm preaching on the night, I want to die on the battlefield. Because that's exactly what David is saying here. He's saying, you may want me, but if you want me, you're going to have to go through me, and you're going to kill me right here on this battlefield. He said, in other words, I'm not quitting, I'm not leaving, I'm not backing up. That leads me to my second title. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. oh, that's the roll-off song. Amen. So you pick the one you like, and that's what it'll be. Amen. But can I say this? We got a lot of people, they're good at turning coat and running. They're good at quitting on God and backing up. And anybody can quit, but it takes somebody with some guts and some grit to say, run if you want to, run if you will, but by the grace of God, I came here to stay. Amen. You know, in Ephesians chapter number 6, Paul gives us the listing of the whole armor of God. He said to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you can walk all through that armor, and you can look at all those pieces of that armor. But honey, there's one thing you will not find. You won't find anything that protects the knees, and you won't find anything that protects the back, because a soldier is not to be running away from the battle. He's to be running to the battle. Somebody said, preacher, what about those knees? Ephesians 6:18, right after verse 17, he said, praying always. He said a soldier does his best fighting when he's down on his knees. And can I say this tonight? We got enough people running and turning coat on God and running away from the battle, but we need some people that have that desire, have that determination in their heart that I want to die on the battlefield and run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Amen. Now this is interesting, because everybody else is scared, but David is not. And I thought about the verse in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear does not come from God, but faith comes from God, and of love and of a sound mind. How could David display such courage in the face of danger and evil? I want to say four things out of this chapter, and I'm done. First of all, I believe the reason that David did not run away in the day of battle was because of the conflict from the foe. The conflict from the foe. You see, there's an enemy that has risen up in the life of the people of God. He's a big dude in a bad mood. His name is Goliath. Goliath of Gath, to be exact. I noticed three things about him. First of all, in verses 4 through 7, we see his description. The Word of God teaches us that he was 6 cubits and a span. And if you study that out, it's a cubit is about 18 inches. So if you take 9 plus 9, it equals 18. But excuse me, I'm sorry, I read my notes wrong first. It was 18 inches, so he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. So if you take 9 and 9, it's 18. 18 divided by 3, you get 3 sixes. Is that not interesting? He is a picture of the devil and the Antichrist in the Old Testament. The Bible teaches us in Revelation 13 that the number of the Antichrist is 666, which is 666. He pictures the devil. And can I say this? The devil is on a rampage in 2018. He is attacking the homes. He is attacking our churches. He is attacking our families. He is attacking the work of God. And he is doing a very good job at it. You see his armor in verse 5 through 7. He has a helmet of brass. Brass is almost like gold, but it's not. It deals with how the devil deceives the mind of people. He has a coat of mail. This pictures how the devil wants to cover and control you. He has greaves of brass on his knees and between his shoulder. The brass on his knees pictures how the devil wants to take you some places. And the brass between his shoulders could picture the burdens that the devil wants to put on you in your life. Then he has that spear like a weaver's beam. And that spear pictures to us how the devil wants to run us through, just as that soldier did to Christ when he was hanging on the cross. You realize that everything the devil wanted to do to you, he done to Jesus on the cross at Calvary? He wanted to strip you of everything, and Jesus died naked before this world. He wanted you to be ran through, and he ran Jesus through with a spear. He wanted you to be cursed, because cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, and Christ was hung on a tree. Everything, hallelujah, everything besides burning in hell, because Jesus did not burn in hell. Somebody say amen right there. He went through hell and he cleaned hell out. That's exactly what he did. Amen. And can I tell you this? Everything that Satan wanted to do to me, Christ took care of at Calvary. His description. Then notice this. He had a man that went before him bearing a shield. I believe this pictures the subtlety of the devil. He will send little things into your life before the destruction comes. Sin always starts small. His description, notice his defiance. He makes an open declaration in verses 8 through 10 that he defied the armies of the living God. Notice what he said. And he stood and cried in the armies of Israel and said to them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man. Let him come down to me. If you're able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. He defied God's army and God's people. He began to, that word defy means to reproach, to taunt, to blaspheme. Are we not living in a day where people are taunting and blaspheming and reproaching the work of God in the name of God in this generation? Saw a sign where a stinking pervert was walking down the street at one of these stinking gay pride parades holding a sign that said, if Jesus comes back, kill him again. I got news for you. That individual's going to have a rough day on Judgment Day. That burned me up, man. I know I'm on live stream. I know this is on the internet. That burned me up, man. I'm telling you, that crowd's going to rot in hell and fry like fat back if they don't get right with God and get saved. Amen. We find the defiance. They hate God and they defy the armies of God. You notice what he's doing every day. The Bible said he drew near morning and evening. Every day he's taking more ground. In verse number 1, me and Brother Richard's talking about this. In verse number 1, the Bible says the Philistines gathered together in their armies to battle, and they were gathered together at Shoku, which belongeth to Judah. And they're taking God's people's ground. And every day, Goliath's taking a step further, and God's people are backing up further. Every day he takes another step. You read it. He draws near. That word draw near doesn't mean that he was in the same place every day. He's getting closer every day. He's taking up more ground. And can I say this? The world and the flesh and the devil, they're taking up more ground every day. And here's what I'm saying. The devil takes a step forward and the church takes a step back. The world takes a step forward and the church takes a step back. The flesh takes a step forward and the church takes a step back. Can I say this today? It's not time to be stepping back. It's a time to be stepping forward, to march on in victory and go on for the glory and the honor of God. Taking our music. Got a Babylonian sound now in our churches. Looks like it sounds like a Babylonian nightclub. Got a bunch of, they've moved the pulpit out of the way and they have praise and worship teams. And I preached the other day, I may have said it here, I ain't never understood why they always get a 115-pound 15-year-old girl, 16-year-old girl dressed in a leotard and tight clothes to be the worship leader. Why don't they get a 350-pound man in a light, tight leotard and let him be the worship leader and sing when the roll is called up yonder? Ain't nothing but sensual and devilish about that crowd, feeding the lust of men and, sadly to say, even women. Amen. Why are they dressing the young people up in tight clothes? They don't need to be in, nobody needs to be in tight clothes. Amen. It's exactly right. You're stinking yoga pants and you're stinking leggings and all that stuff. I wish I'd get one man to tell you what you really look like. It got quiet right there. It's three things that don't lie: a drunk, a child, and leggings. Amen. Amen. You ought to have some decency and some standards about you. Amen. I'm in a good mood tonight. I feel like preaching. Amen. If this is my last time, I want to shoot everything that moves. Praise God. Because run if you want to. Run if you will. But I'm tired of people defying the armies of the living God. I came here to stay. Amen. We're going to keep standing. The description, the defiance. Notice his desire. He said, give me a man. That's still the cry of the devil. That's still the desire of the devil. He wants a man. He wants men and women and boys and girls. He wants to destroy their life. He wants to wreck and ruin their lives. I'm not trying to be too plain. He understands, but I saw people this week that the devil has ruined their lives. He knows what I'm talking about. They've literally ruined their lives. And if God doesn't do something, he'll drag them all to hell. They're in your family, they're in my family, they're in your community, they're in your neighborhood. They're also in your home. All them children, they may not have a needle in their arm and a bottle in their hand and a cigarette in their mouth right now, but the devil has a plan. And he's going to be very good at carrying it out. His desire. Everybody okay? It felt like it died when I said something about your leggings and your yoga pants. Amen. How's leggings and yoga pants long, loose, and fitting? Amen. Ain't nothing but glorified pantyhose. Come on now. Amen. It's exactly right. And so we find his desire. He wants a man. He wants to destroy him. The Bible says the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. By the way, let me just back up and hit that. If you, sir, ma'am, if you don't want your daughter to dress like that when she's 25, don't let her dress like that when she's 10. If you don't want your boy to dress a certain way when he's 25, don't dress him like that when he's 10. Amen. Daxon's growing out of shorts. He's done. I don't want him dressing like that when he gets older. Amen. He's done. He's going to sweat like the rest of us. Amen. I'm just telling you, there's that desire. I know some of y'all, I know it gets nervous when you preach on clothes, when you preach on money, but I'm not nervous at all. Amen. I've been through it all. I'm telling you, there's a conflict of the foe, and the devil has a desire to destroy your life. If y'all had acted better on that dress point, I wouldn't have to come back and hit it again, all right? That's why he would not leave the conflict from the foe. Number two, not only the conflict from the foe, but I don't believe he had run in the day of battle because he had a commission from his father. Brother Richie preached about this at the camp, and I hadn't stopped thinking about it since he preached it. And so now I'm going to preach it. That's what preachers do. Amen. Jesse had commanded David to go out to battle for the purpose of refreshing his brethren. And we've been called to go out to this battle. God didn't save anybody without the intentions of putting them in the middle of the battle. There are no conscientious objectors in God's army. Amen. We call them wimps where I'm from. There are none of those in God's army. When you got saved, hello, you're in it now. I mean, we hand you a sword, let's go to battle. Amen. Notice this, verse 15, he was serving. David's been anointed king. Chapter 16, he's been anointed to be king over Israel, but you know what we find him doing? He's still keeping his father's sheep. Can I say this? Before God will send you out, you got to be serving. Can I say this tonight? Always remember, we must be careful not to think too highly of ourselves when we ought to think. Because we are nothing more than the dust of the ground. God still hates pride. He hates my pride and he hates your pride. Amen. We're real good about pride in the South. I'm proud of my boy says a Bible verse. I'll be proud when my boy hits a home right there. I'm not talking about that kind of pride. I'm proud of what God's doing in my life. But we get proud of who we are and what we've done and what we've got. The Bible said, God, he resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. I'm a Southern man. I was born in the South. God be my helper. I'll die in the South. But I'm telling you, we're bad about it in the South. We're bad about it in our churches. We're bad about it in our communities. It's all about us. Look what we've done. We ain't done anything. Because we would not be here if God hadn't put the breath in our body. We wouldn't be here if God wasn't pumping the blood through our bodies tonight. When you realize that you can't even get out of bed in the morning without the mercy of God and the grace of God in your life, it'll knock that pride and that rebellion, that stubbornness out of you. He was serving. Verse 17, he was sent. I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. Can you tell? He was sent. The reason David was sent is because David was serving. Did you get that? The reason David was sent is because David was serving. God only sends people that are serving. Amen. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of people, they want to be handed everything. I've got accused, believe it or not, I've got accused, Brother Josh just got handed that church. Oh yeah, I've heard that one. He got handed that church. Yeah, God handed it to me. Amen. You didn't hand it to me. God handed it to me. Amen. I love when y'all look like that. Man, I love kickback. It just makes you want to preach harder. Everything you've got, God handed you. Amen. That kind of mentality tells me that's a prideful individual that make a statement like that because they think that they've worked and earned what they've got. God handed me the suit I got on tonight. God handed me the house I live in. God handed me the family I have. How'd I get off on that? Oh, I was talking about the reason God handed me something, because I was serving. I'm not pulling my suspenders out saying, look at me. I don't have suspenders on that. I'm up, got my hands in my belt saying, man, y'all look at me. Look what I've done. No, I'm telling you, God honors people that honors him. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you, that's the gospel truth. I've lived it. I've been there. God will honor people that honor him. Yes. You want God to do something in your life? Just get busy serving. Amen. Get busy serving and God will send you. Yes. He was serving. He was sent. He had supplies. He wasn't empty-handed when he went to battle. Man, I feel like preaching. Man, I feel good tonight. He had supplies. He didn't go in empty-handed. He said he gave him parched corn. That picture is the blessings of God. He gave him 10 loaves of bread. That picture is the word of God. Now, that cheese, that confused me a little bit. Because it's hard to figure out what cheese means in the Bible. And I got to thinking, cheese has calcium in it, right? Calcium makes your bones stronger. Gives you strength. Could cheese picture strength? I don't know. It does in this message. And your message in my means I'm different. My message it pictures strength. And can I say this? When we see a brother or a sister that's bound down the battle, you know what I'll do? We ought to remind them of the blessings of God. Hey, God, I know you're having it hard right now, but God sure has been good to you. And y'all take the word of God to them and try to encourage them. And then you ought to strengthen them. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He was serving, he was sent, he had supplies. I like this. Watch it now. Verse 20. He had a shout. Verse 20, he gets out and the Bible said he shouted for the battle. He wasn't saying, boy, it's good to be here. No, I believe he got out, and like I did last night when Ronald Acuna hit a home run the first inning, I said, woo, he hit it out. I just go Braves. That's what I said last night. Amen, preacher, go Braves. They've been on a 2-game winning streak. The longest winning streak of the season, too. All right. What I'm saying, though, is I get excited over things. But, honey, David got excited over there was a battle, and he was on God's side. Now, I know nobody in North Carolina up here, I know y'all know about football. I know this is a basketball state. So you got your Carolina and your Duke people. So let me speak to you on your level then. It's like being excited that you're on Carolina's side or Duke's side. You know, you get that feeling. Why do they always play the Carolina and Duke game on Wednesday night? I've never understood that. I'm going to write a letter and tell them to quit it. Because all of y'all are like, okay, it's time to go, preacher. The game comes on at 8, you know. Don't act like you ain't. I'll watch you, you know, because you're like, okay, so you proceed, preacher, and you watch on your phones, you go out. That's you pull for your team, you're excited. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with pulling for losing teams. If you want to get the SEC, call me. I'll help you out. But what I'm saying is tonight is that's what the idea is. He's excited about whose side he's on. You know what? And when it comes to football season, every Saturday I wear a Georgia hat and a Georgia t-shirt and my Georgia tennis shoes. I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. Well, David pulls up at the battle and he says, I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. I'm on the side of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that hung the stars, the one that made this earth. I want everybody, if he would have had it, he would have stopped by Nike and got an I'm on God's side shirt and a ball cap and would have shouted the victory. Amen. Watch this. He had a summons. More than his father Jesse had summoned him, his father Jehovah had summoned him. Psalm 78:70. I love this. He chose David, also his servant. Watch this now. And he took him from the sheepfolds. Took him from the sheepfolds and put him on a battlefield. Far as I can tell, this is the first time he's ever been on a battlefield, but he don't look too nervous. Then sports guys would say, he's got ice water running in his veins. He's cool. He's calm. He's collected. He's got it all together. You know what? It wasn't David, but David, we see here that he had the conflict from the foe, and he had the commission from his father. But then number three, he had a cause for the fight. He said, y'all right, I guess you got a little liberty to preach right now, amen. This calls for the fight. David asked the famous question in verse 29, is there not a cause? The reason he asked that is because he gets down there at the battle and his brother, who should be helping him and encouraging him, speaks against him. He said, why'd you come down here? If I'd been David, believe it or not, I have a little bit of a spirit of smart aleck in me. I'm really praying God to help me with it, but I'm not praying too hard. It's kind of fun. But if I'd been David, I'd say, I come down to see a battle. But apparently y'all are chickens and there's no battle going on. That's what I would have said. But I'm not David. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? In fact, Eliab said, you come down, you might see a battle. I'm like, ain't seeing no battle. Seeing a bunch of people hide behind tents. because the jolly green giant out there is a hollering. Amen. He said, is there not a cause? What was the cause? Well, Goliath had questioned the reality of God. He said, your God ain't nothing. He's just another false god. The gods of the Philistines will defeat your God. Gods, plural. They have to have gods to defeat our God. And they still don't do it. David said, there's a cause for the reality of God. Verse 46, there's a cause for a respect for God. Goliath is cursing God. I had lunch, Brother Dean McNeese today. He's preaching something in Lexington this week. And I love his illustration on this verse. He said, David comes out, jumps out of that chair and says, here, brethren, here's some bread, here's some cheese, here's some corn. How you doing? David said, hey, and who is that cussing? Give me 5 minutes, a stone and a sling, we'll take care of that problem. Hope he kissed his mama goodbye this morning. Hope his mama can identify him by the bottom of his feet because I'm fixing to take his head off. Amen. That's in the originals. That's what David is saying. He said, he ain't going to talk about my God like that. He's not going to disrespect my God like that. He's not going to curse my God like that. I'm going to restore some respect for God. The reality of God, the respect of God. But watch this now, the revelation of God. Watch verse 46 now. I love this. Y'all right? Look at verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Watch this now, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now when this started out, it was just the Philistines and the Israelites. But David said, honey, this thing's got bigger now. He said, Goliath, when I cut your head off, all the earth's going to know that there is a God in Israel. In other words, I don't know how David knew, but somehow, Brother Richie, he said, one day, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but this story is going to be known throughout all the earth. How many Bible schools, how many Sunday school lessons, how many preachers have walked up to a pulpit and said, look at 1 Samuel 17. We're going to talk about David and Goliath and how God gave David the victory. Whether David realized or not, it went through all the earth that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. In fact, in sports, you hear it when there's a smaller ranked team playing a bigger team. What do they call it? A David and Goliath matchup. Sounds like all the earth knows. Hey, that Bible's more up to date than your newspaper. He said, I'm going to restore. He said, I'm going to reveal that God is in Israel. There is a God, and all the earth's going to know about it. Can I say this? We need that resolve and that resiliency in our spirit. That all the earth may know there is a God. Hey, Salisbury needs to know there's a God. Roland County, it's wicked, number 9, most dangerous county town in the world. You get shot, stabbed, and that's just getting out of your car at Walmart. Just being honest with you. It's a wicked town. Wicked town. Y'all not agree? If you don't agree, let's go to Walmart at 2 a.m. Come on now. I see you shaking your head. It's a wicked town. Man got shot while he's ordering a taco next to his truck. It's a wicked town. But they need to know there is a God.
Amen.
And he's real. And we don't change to reach them.
Amen.
We'd rather for them to change when they meet him.
Yes, sir.
I preached that funeral today, and I'm not being disrespectful, but not church people. Just being honest, they're not church people. And I said, I know the devil's telling you, and I'll probably say it Friday night, well, if you give your heart to God, you have to change this, this, and this, and this before you get saved. Oh, no, you don't change nothing before you get saved. And somebody said, well, preach, if I get saved, I'm going to have to quit this, I'm going to have to quit this, I'm going to have to quit this. You won't have to, you'll want to.
Amen.
Can anybody testify to that? After you got saved, you wanted to quit doing it. You just didn't feel right about it anymore. Oh, it may not happen all at once, but all of a sudden that music, that just don't feel right anymore. And this outfit, no, I just don't. My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that don't work. And this sin, that's a sin that I don't think I should get rid of that. And you know what? I shouldn't talk like that anymore. And I, you know what? I probably shouldn't go to those places anymore. Can I tell you? I believe in progressive sanctification, and I believe that God will change your want to.
Amen.
I drank all the beer I wanted to today. I smoked all the pot I wanted to today. I cussed and lied and told stories all I wanted to today. You know what? I ain't drank. didn't smoke no dope, didn't cuss, tell no dirty jokes or tell any dirty lies or anything like that. You know why? Didn't want to. There's somebody on the inside said, you can't do that. Oh, you can, but you're going to pay for it. You can do anything you want to, but God will make you pay for it. And that's why people that go out and live like the world, live like the devil, probably ain't got the same Holy Spirit. They probably don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. I'm going to repeat my statement she alluded to Sunday night. There's only one prodigal in the Bible, and he came home.
Yes, sir.
And he never left again.
Amen.
And I still believe we don't have as many prodigals out in the world as we do lost church kids.
Yep. That's right.
I'm telling you. Somebody said, well, and I know there's a handful of occurrences where they were really saved and they just got away from God. I understand that, but they're few and far between. And instead of praying for God to bring them home, we ought to pray, God, bring them to an end of themselves. God, let them hit rock bottom. Let them end up in a hog pen somewhere and don't send them a biscuit when they get there. I don't see where the prodigal's daddy sent him a biscuit or sent him a pizza when he got in the hog pen. He let him want to eat the hog slop. Got him down to nothing. And when he got down to nothing, he said, boy, he said, I'd love to have some of them biscuits down at daddy's house. I'd love to be back in daddy. How'd I get on Luke 15? I guess I spent so much time with a boy, I feel like I know him. And that's when he ran back to daddy's house. Honey, if you bail them out every time they get in a bad spot, they'll never leave the far country. But if you let them get to an end of themselves and you let them get real face to face with how bad it is and how good God is, it might be they'll come running home, and when they come home, they'll never leave again. Am I telling it right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So there is the boy, everything's jumping in this message, ain't it? I preached on dress standards, prodigals, Calvary. I've gave you some end times prophecy. I'm a schizophrenic preacher tonight, but I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. You don't know the amen. Number four, I'm done. What kept David on the battlefield? The conflict from the foe, the commission from his father, the calls for the fight. Watch this now, and I'm done. The confidence of his faith. I don't see David standing there saying, he's really big, and he's really bad. I think I can do this. I think God's able. I think he can handle it. It's not too sure. We're going to try, but I don't know. No, I see David said, Goliath, you want his head on a platter? Or you just want me to bring it to you like this? I mean, Saul, you want Goliath's head on a platter or you want me to bring it to you like that? How you want it? You want it, you know, I mean, you want to cut it at an angle? You want a straight cut? How you want it? I'm fixing to take his head off his shoulders.
Yeah.
Hey, birds! Extra rare. Fixing to be up for dinner right here. Talking about rare. Y'all get ready. Call your buddies. Call the buzzards. Y'all fixing to have dinner.
Yeah.
It's a big old boy, 9'9". I'm going to have to take his head, but y'all have the rest of him. I like that. Mel used to call that moxie. Had something about him. He was ready to go. I don't know what that is. It could be something terrible. That's what something else is. If it is, forgive me. All right? The confidence of his faith. What was he confident about? Verse 36, I got to hurry. He said he's alive. He said, verse 36, he has defied the armies of the living God. He's saying your God ain't living, but mine is. He's alive. Number two, he's able. He said, Saul said, man, and I ain't going to read all the verses, you know the story. He said, David, he said, you're just a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. He said, David, he said, King, I'll tell you about this. He's not cocky, he's not being arrogant, he's confident. There's a difference between being arrogant and being confident. Can you bear one more carnal illustration about baseball? My favorite baseball player went in the Hall of Fame Sunday. He's a drunk, wicked man, but my favorite baseball player, Chipper Jones, went in the Hall of Fame. I don't care. I don't like what he done off the field, but boy, he sure gave me some nice memories when I was a kid. I'm just telling you. My first game I ever went to, 9 years old, bottom of the 10th, 5-5, hit the game winning homer.
Yeah.
I found the YouTube video the other day and cried for 10 minutes after I found him. Like, yeah, I'm there. But you know what they said about him? I watched what the old players said about him that watched him. They said he walked around, and I caught this statement. They said he walked around with confidence, but not cockiness. And one of the old fellas said, there's a difference between being cocky and being confident. Being cocky is you're telling everybody you can do it. Being confident is you're showing everybody you can do it.
Yes. Yes.
Boy, I mean, that man's probably lost, don't know God, but I spoke to my heart. There's a lot of people, they tell me what they can do for God. Don't tell me, show me.
Yes. Amen.
Show me. Don't talk the talk, walk the walk. So he said, I was out there keeping my sheep one day. He said, a lion and a bear come out. I believe personally, Brother Brian, they came out at the same time. I believe the lion and the bear came out at the same time. By the way, look at Revelation 13. There's a lion and a bear. It's the unholy Trinity. Yeah. And Goliath, too. It's all there. Me and Brother Dan's talking about that today. But can I say this? In this lion and the bear come out, he slew him. Yes. He grabbed that lion by his beard. Yeah. If he had shaved that morning, he'd probably still be alive. Amen. It's all right if you have your beard. I'm not throwing off at you. It's a joke. What I'm saying is, he said, God's done it before, and I think he can do it one more time for me.
Oh, yeah.
He said he's able, he's able, he's alive, but last of all, he's adequate. Everybody was saying, look how big Goliath is. And David was saying, look how big God is.
Yeah. Yeah,
what are you going to look at? Are you going to look at the giant, or are you going to look at God? All of us tonight, and I'm done. I know I preach a little longer than I do on Wednesday nights, but I've had good liberty, and I don't think you've suffered through it. All of us are facing giants this week. All of us are facing something this week that's a giant that is too big for us to handle. Could we all, we all got something. And we've spent a lot of time, and I sure have, looking at that giant. How am I going to handle it? How am I going to face it? How am I going to win this victory? When the whole time, I don't need to be looking at him. I need to be looking at him.
Amen.
Yeah, you're pretty big. I'm about to break my neck looking at him. Because his right hand has spanned the heavens. And if his right hand has spanned the heavens, he's a pretty big guy. We don't serve a little G God, we serve a big G God. That tells me he's bigger than any problem, any situation, any battle you're facing. God's bigger than that. So run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. Oh, Lester Roloff, you sing that song. He had them children's home for years, and I'm hushing. He had the children home for years. They come in and try to shut him down because he wouldn't take a license. He said, if you take a license, you're going to tell me how to run the homes. He said, we run the homes by the Word of God. He said, I ain't taking your license. They arrested him 3 different occasions, put him in jail. They come one time to take all the children away. Him and about 400 preachers stood in the front, and they sung, run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Because it didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay.
Amen.
The homes are still going on today. With no license. Can I say this? I want to die on the battlefield. I want to finish right. Somebody go out and get him so she can come to the piano. Somebody don't mind. Hey, yeah, no, that's right. Come back up here and get that guitar and sing that song. I'm sorry. Made charity awkward moment of service. Boy, it's been a good weather in God's house tonight. Had good liberty to preach. What about you? I want to die on the battlefield. We've all debated quitting before. We've all debated dropping our colors. And I'm sitting there eating with one of my heroes today, Brother Dean, probably counts me more than any, maybe him, brother, my dad and Brother David Shelton counts me more than any other preachers. He looked at me and said, Josh, as the longer I go, I don't want to get looser. He said, the longer I go in my ministry and in my life, I don't want to get looser. He said, because those guys that get loose, they fall apart. He said, I want to get tighter. I want to man the hatches, man the battle stations. Finish right. That's not just for preachers. That's for all of us. A lot of people have ran, but by God's grace, I'm not running.
Amen.
One old fellow said, I wasn't a coward when God saved me. I didn't run when God saved me. I'm not running now.
I've
come too far to look back. You're
going
to be tried with that. You're going to be tested with that. But may God help us to stay faithful and stay on the battlefield. Let's stand together. Turn that pulpit mic on there, Brother Rob, so he can sing. I want to die on the battlefield. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart tonight. You come be obedient.